Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, we are packed on a Monday. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are live in Los Angeles on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1 in 1 hour from now. Probably our best yet. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong. It is great to have you in on a packed Monday. Travis Kelce of the Kansas City Chiefs will be joining in this hour. Michael Vick, Trent Dilfer. We're packed. We'll go to Dallas. Joy Taylor is joining me in a Monday. Boy, it's starting to kind of sift its way out. We're kind of starting to find believers, non-believers, for real, fake news. We're kind of figuring the whole league out, right?
Some very telling games yesterday, yes.
Yeah. Let's start with Dallas-Philadelphia because that's a very telling game. And, you know, we say there's three words, and this is why I love the NFL. Three words mean everything in the NFL. Just win Sunday. Or occasionally just win Thursday or Monday. Just win your next game. L.A. Rams, man overboard. Sean McVay's overrated. Just won Sunday. Jalen Ramsey's great. Defense is better. How about the Dallas Cowboys? You guys are all freaking out. They can't beat legitimate teams. And I said, just win Sunday. Just win Sunday. Beat the Eagles at home. And everybody's going to be going, oh, we're pretty good. And Dallas is pretty good. Here we go into week 8. They're in first place, 4-3, and they're healthy. I like where Dallas is at. It was the perfect formula for Dallas. This is the same team that lost to the Jets last week. And these games were opposite games. That's why Dallas lost that one and won this one. They got the lead. This team plays very well with a lead. Dak plays better with a lead. They were able to rush for 190 yards. They're very good playing with a lead when they can rush. And also, Philadelphia gave them 4 turnovers. Amari Cooper was healthy. Their offensive tackles were healthy. Randall Cobb was healthier. So here we are. Dallas is a team that can win a certain way. Last week against the Jets, they fell behind. They turned it over. They couldn't run. Amari's not totally healthy. Listen, I talked to Jimmy Johnson, the legendary coach, before my show yesterday on Fox. And I said, what do you think of Dak? And he goes, I like Dak. You can win a lot of games with Dak. He goes, I'd make Dak my franchise quarterback. Now, I don't want to get in shootouts, and you got to put enough pieces around him, and there's a certain way to win. And yesterday was a classic example. The week before against the Jets, injured players, Amari's not healthy, you can't run the football, you're playing from behind. Dallas can't win that way. There are about 4 teams in the NFL right now that can just win a bunch of different ways. New England can win a lot of different ways. Green Bay can win different ways. San Francisco yesterday looked awful offensively, and they won. New Orleans has won a bunch of different ways. There's about 4 of the teams in the league that can win a bunch of different ways. But even when Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City were healthy, they mostly had to win shootouts because their defense couldn't stop anybody. And Dallas is not a team. Baltimore's not a team. Buffalo is not a team that's going to play well from behind when they can't run the football and put a ton of pressure on Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott, or Josh Allen. They're not built for that. And I said this Friday, even if the Cowboys had lost this game competitively, they were still fine. They've got a bye week and then the Giants, so they were going to get to back to 500. But I do think this morning they're kind of back. They've edged back in barely to my Super Bowl bubble, which is always 8 teams. I think Baltimore's close to being in it. Carolina's close to being in it. But I think Dallas edged their way back in. They do several things very well. And when they play within that formula, and getting a lead is a big deal for this team, when they play within their formula, last night happens. Now, I'm going to talk about Philadelphia after the break, but just win Sunday. That's it. Just win. Dallas wins. Last week, season over. This morning, season just starting. Cowboys getting healthier. Great place to be. So I want to talk about Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers for a second. He was amazing yesterday. Didn't have his top receiver. His other 2 receivers were on limited snaps. He threw to 6 different people. Perfect passer rating. But I said this last week, and I believe it. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, they're too reliant on him. And Aaron Rodgers, for the first 7-8 years in the NFL, Green Bay was too reliant on him. Listen, everybody wants Troy Aikman, Terry Bradshaw as their quarterbacks and Aaron Rodgers. But Troy and Terry Bradshaw had great defenses for most of their careers and great running games. Aaron Rodgers now has a legit defense and a running game. But I think Green Bay figured out a couple years ago, hey, we're still going to ask Aaron to be Aaron maybe 3 throws a game or every 4th week. But we don't want to ask Aaron Rodgers because this is where resentment becomes a real thing. Kobe Bryant wants to be the man. He doesn't want to be the only man. And Aaron Rodgers would drive to Lambeau or get on that team plane for 8 years. And if Aaron didn't play well, they didn't win. And what was special about yesterday is that Bucky Brooks always calls quarterbacks in two camps. They're either trucks, they pull the team, or they're trailers, they're pulled by the team. And there's about 4 trucks in this league. That's about it. One of them retired, Andrew Luck. Brady, you know, even Drew Brees now doesn't have to carry his team, clearly. Cam doesn't. But Aaron and Mahomes, to me, have had to carry their teams. And what's great now is this truck, maybe the best truck in the league that can carry a team, got a new GPS this offseason. It got new rims, new wheels, got a new engine, a big, strong V8, more towing capacity. But yesterday, some of the accessories were not quite right. The receivers just didn't have it. And yet he went out, Aaron Rodgers, and played one of his great games ever. And Aaron's using the F word more this year. Fun. It's fun to go to work and know you have a lot of talent, but know you don't have to do everything perfect. And yesterday, Aaron actually was perfect. But they don't ask him to do this every Sunday. If you look at every Packers win this year, they've won with defense, they won with turnovers, they won with a running game a couple of weeks ago in Dallas. Yesterday they won with their magician, their Copperfield, who pulls stuff out of a hat. But you can see this. The fun word is back. It's fun. Aaron after the game and his coach, he got the game ball. Brady a couple weeks ago, Aaron Sunday.
We got 1 game ball today, and this is pretty special right here now. First time in Packer history, a guy completes a game with a perfect passer rating.
For our radio audience, that's the locker room in Green Bay. Again, when you ask Mahomes to be magical for 3.5 hours every Sunday, and for 8 years, when you asked Aaron to be magical on every possession, what happened psychologically? Aaron starts thinking, I've got to make a play. I've got to ad lib. I can't throw the big interception. And I think it affects Aaron Rodgers' ability. I think Aaron and Patrick Mahomes believe Patrick Mahomes is like, hey, our defense can't stop anybody. I've got to make a big play. I've got to be crazy. I've got to extend the play. And I think it affects your quarterback negatively. Whereas Brady knows, I'm just going to dirt it. I'm going to get the ball back. We're not giving up points. I think when you help your superstar quarterback with accessories, a running game, a pass rush, a secondary, they don't feel like they have to extend every play, ad lib on every third down. You can live for another day, cut down on the mistakes. It's a more joyful experience. I've never seen Aaron Rodgers smile more. By the way, he's been winning for years. I didn't see him smile this much when he was winning his division. You always sense there was some level, a small bit of resentment, like, do I have to win every Sunday by a shootout? And that's what worries me about Mahomes. Does he have to win every Sunday by a shootout? Because I think this Green Bay team is scary good. They can do what they did yesterday, but it's not the only way. For the first time in Aaron Rodgers' career, it's not the only way they can win. He's perfect.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So Philadelphia got crushed last night. And for the last year or two, I've said I really like their owner. I like their GM. I like their coach. And I think their quarterback's really, really talented. But you know what Philadelphia's become? And I overvalued their talent. They don't really have a running back that scares you or a cornerback that scares you or a wide receiver that scares you. What happened to their pass rush? I don't know. To me, it's apathy. And I'll tell you, ever meet somebody in life, I'll just speak from a guy's perspective. I've met a few of these guys. They've never really gotten the big paycheck, the big bonus in life, the corner office. And then they do one time in their life, and then they want to lecture everybody on how to do it. Barf. Okay? Barf. Okay? Congratulations on that one Super Bowl. Yippee, throw a parade. You won a Super Bowl. Your coach went out and wrote a book. Here's how to win Super Bowls. Really? One? Lane Johnson started lecturing us about how to win Super Bowls and football should be fun. You know when football's fun? Not last night. Football's fun when you win. It's not fun when every other week you're getting blown out. Last year, Tennessee blown out. Carolina blow a fourth quarter lead. New Orleans blown out. This year, Minnesota blown out. Last night, blown out. You're 12-11 since your Super Bowl. You haven't beaten the Dallas Cowboys once since your Super Bowl. See, New England's motto is do your job. Philadelphia's motto is did our job once and then lectured everybody about how to win. Stop it. Get over yourself. You're the high school loser still bragging about four touchdown games in your small town and you're 44 years old. Get over it. Okay? None of those great Super Bowl moments. Nick Foles is gone. He was great in that game. Frank Reich, the coach, is gone. LeGarrette Blount's gone. A lot of the people that were very key in that win are gone. What isn't is the stench, the ego. And Philadelphia has always been a big, brash, loud, you know, chatter town, highly emotional. You're seeing this in Cleveland, too, by the way. Basically, Philadelphia is becoming Baker Mayfield. I feel dangerous with a ring. One. Lane Johnson last night after the game admitted the problems are in the locker room and ego-based.
Really, it's going to be probably a call-out session. Everybody will be held accountable. You know, little stuff that slides during the week, you know, late to practice, late to meetings, late, you know, this and that. Stuff will start to be, you know, held accountable for, and I think that'll maybe creep into the games.
Lane Johnson came on this show. He was a nice guy. But I never buy into a guy who's never truly successful hitting it once and then lecturing everybody about how to be successful. I'm going to take the New England way. Academic, cerebral, quiet, covert, smart, do your job. Not loud, cocky, brash, ego, did our job once, and now we want to brag about it to everybody. Philadelphia, get over yourself. You're a 500 team with five route losses since the Super Bowl.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
I'm kind of intense. Probably in my career, I'm easier to work with today than I've ever been. But in my 20s and 30s, I think I just wore people out. I wanted it so bad. And I probably just wore people out. And I apologize to anybody I just wore off that had to work with me. Now I'm a day at the beach, right, Goulet? But the point is, listen, we spend all this time talking about what quarterbacks don't have. That's why Deshaun Watson drops in the draft. We should probably start talking about what quarterbacks do have. Lamar Jackson, there were three or four plays yesterday. I mean, this guy, it's so easy for me to root for him. He cares so much. He wants it so much. He's so intense. And he's jumping up and down. They won't hike the ball. I got to tell you something. Tony Gonzalez once told me 3% of NFL players are totally committed. Lamar Jackson wants it so bad. I like Matt Stafford. I like Joe Flacco. But I never sense the urgency. This is Kobe Bryant stuff. This is Brady stuff. This is LeBron stuff. It's palpable. You can sense with Lamar. He wants it so bad. And I think it would surprise people how few athletes, it's not about the money. It's about winning the game. And you can watch Lamar Jackson. Hey, I'm the first to admit it. Sometimes the ball comes out of his hand. It just not. He threw a ball to Mark Andrews yesterday that was a screwball. I'm not even sure how the release worked. And he completed, what, 8-9 passes? Yes, there's things he can't do. But when you're a fan and your team loses, and then immediately after the game, guys are high-fiving or smiling on the sidelines, or they're smiling at the end of a loss at midfield, doesn't it bother you a little? Like, when I watch Lamar Jackson, I'm like, that's a guy who lost to Cleveland and didn't sleep for two nights. He's angry. And yesterday, Mark Andrews, a very good tight end, could not catch, dropped three balls, including a touchdown. No. Lamar Jackson didn't point a single finger. Lamar Jackson refused to be a victim. Lamar Jackson, this offseason, he listened to his critics and he put on 15 pounds, his traps, his arms. This kid is going to prove all of us wrong. And I don't know if they can win a Super Bowl. It's so unique. It's so different. There are times it's so clunky throwing the ball. But I'm going to give Harbaugh and his staff props. But more than anything, I got to give Lamar Jackson props. Because I just don't see, this is Peyton Manning to me. This is Brady. This is Kobe. Now, I'm not talking about talent. I'm talking about this guy wants it so bad. I always say this about Matt Stafford. I know he's talented. But is he ever pissed? Is he ever mad? Is he ever screaming at refs? I never sense that. And so much of sports is wanting it. It's so much a life. Be competitive. And this kid, he'll never be Mahomes pretty. He'll never be Aaron Rodgers slick. He'll never be, you know, Peyton Manning 9 audibles. It's not what he is. But we spend so much time talking ourselves out of quarterbacks. Outside of Rodgers, I mean, Brady's unathletic. Eli Manning was unathletic. I mean, yes, he doesn't throw a pretty football. But you know what? On third down, I'm watching Pete Carroll, a defensive whiz. I'm sitting on a couple of those runs. I'm like, Pete Carroll's got to be sitting over there thinking, this is Vince Young, who beat me at USC when I was – remember when Texas beat USC and Pete Carroll? Pete said it's the hardest college loss of his career. Pete had it all figured out. And Vince Young just, I'm just going to go off script. And that Pete said that's the hardest loss I've ever had. And I'm watching that yesterday, and I'm like, this is like Pete Carroll against Vince Young, where – coverage is good, nobody open, good pass rush, you got a spy on Lamar, doesn't matter. It makes everybody miss. And I find them incredibly fun to watch. I think they're the most unique team in the NFL. But I can feel Lamar's presence. I don't care what his stats are. I can feel it. He's got a 3-game winning streak, and Lamar leads the NFL in rushing in those 3 weeks. It's just the craziest thing. Here's Lamar after the game talking about going for it on fourth down, where he talked his coach into going for it.
I told him we need to go for it because we didn't score. We drove the ball down the field, you know, first quarter twice, kick field goals. We started bringing Tuck in. I'm like, bro, no, not this time. We're not kicking no field goal because Russell Wilson get the ball again and we didn't score. It might look ugly. So I'm like, we got to score right now.
Great, great win for them. I love it. God, just so unique to face.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
One of the hardest things for guys to do. Now, this may be easy for women, but one of the hardest things for guys to do is admit it's not lift weights, jump out of planes. No. For guys, the hardest thing to do in the world is admit they're wrong. The Chicago Bears' Ryan Pace is a very good general manager. A lot of good running backs, a lot of good linebackers. They have to admit they were wrong drafting Mitch Trubisky. As a man, I can speak for men, it's hard to admit we're wrong. But Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, you moved up to get Mitch Trubisky. Stop lying to yourself. You cannot go forward with the fourth best quarterback in your own division. Smoke and mirrors. Matt Nagy, he didn't draft him. The general manager did. So do yourself a favor, Ryan Pace, and admit it and draft another quarterback. Otherwise, you're going to be Tennessee with Marcus Mariota and Miami with Ryan Tannehill. You're so invested in your draft pick, You can't be honest and go, we whiffed. By the way, Belichick whiffs in the draft. The smartest guys in this league, Bill Polian, Hall of Fame execs, they miss. Parcells misses. It's hard for guys to admit, yeah, we just whiffed on this one. But Arizona, by the way, Arizona said, hey, we took a quarterback. We don't think it works. We're out. Kyler Murray. Arizona this morning feels pretty damn good about themselves. The Bears general manager has done a very good job. This is a very good roster. But you have the fourth best quarterback in your division. And a team will tell you what they think of their quarterback by the plays they call. It is smoke. It is mirrors. It is tricks. I mean, listen, Jacksonville did this with Blake Bortles. Remember that? They had, you know, he wasn't the guy. Then they have a perfect stacked deck. And then they have one great year. And just to prove themselves right, we're going to give him an extension. Why? That was the time you get out. Sell him high. Find a sucker in the league. Yo, Bortles is great. He got us to the AFC Championship. And get out. Chicago. Hard for a dude. Admit you're wrong. You whiffed. Get out of that space or you're going to become Tennessee. Irrelevant.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I have a big, strong opinions, and I think it's okay for me to admit, you know what, whiffed on that one. And we whiffed on a few this week. Here we go. Colin right, Colin wrong on a Football Monday.
Where Colin was right.
All right, Blazing 5. First 5 weeks we won. Stinker last week. We're back on the winning track. 64% for the year. As I always say, if I can get 58%, I could be a professional gambler. 7 weeks, 6 winning weeks, thanks to the Colts. We thought they'd beat the Texans. We thought the Rams would beat Atlanta. And we took the Ravens to upset Seattle. 64% in the year. We'll take it every year.
Where Colin was wrong.
You know, when Cliff Kingsbury, who got fired at his alma mater, no alma mater wants to fire their guy, the good-looking young coach. When they fired him, I said, so he can't win at his alma mater? He got fired by his alma mater? I got to tell you something yesterday. Of all the games yesterday where I felt a coach out-coached another coach, it was Cliff Kingsbury over Pat Shurmur. How the New York Giants could be that flat after 10 days off, I don't know. But I got to be honest with you. Every week, Kyler Murray's a little better. I think the last 2 weeks I've watched Arizona, they have been so multiple and so clever scripting their plays. They've jumped out to these big leads, and it's allowed them to have some play action. And, I mean, you don't see coaching mismatches in the NFL very often. You see them in college. But I think they're improving. They started with a lot of college principles, and they're now doing a little bit less of that. But they don't have a great offensive line, but it is not now. Their schedule does get tougher, but I don't think they're... If I had not a coach of the year, but a surprise coach of the year, it would be Cliff Kingsbury, way over my expectations.
Where Colin was right.
Never bought into Mitch Trubisky. I didn't buy into the Bears last year. I don't buy him into this year. I said, I think they're going to be the pullback team in the NFL. Matt Nagy's having to do a bunch of nonsense tricks, smoke and mirrors. I think the front office has to admit they whiffed. As a number two pick, I hate this word, but he's getting close to a bust. They're last in the NFC in total offense. They have not had a 300-yard game yet offensively. I just don't think, with all the NFC talent at quarterback, I just don't think this is a legitimate team. And I don't think they'll ever be a legitimate club and a Super Bowl contender until they get fixed at quarterback.
Where Colin was wrong.
I've been on a 2-year mission telling you how good Philadelphia is. Not only did I massively overstate the team, but I overstated their talent. I don't know what they do well. Trent Dilfer told me this a week ago. They don't have a cornerback that's a set-down corner. They don't have a receiver that you have to double. They don't have a star running back. What happened to the offensive line? I mean, that was the best Dallas has rushed the passer all season long. You know, they spent all this money on the D-line. Where are the sacks? Where is the consistent pass rush? Their offensive line's regressed. I'm wrong. I've been on this train for 2 years. I love their coach and their GM. I think Carson Wentz is amazing. But they just don't have it. And they just don't have enough good players. And I think they just overspent the defensive front because I don't see the pressure and I don't see the protection on the offensive front.
Where Colin was right.
I never understood the criticism when Dallas gave up a first-round pick to get Amari Cooper. I'm like, He's a franchise grown-up receiver and a top five route runner in the NFL. Dallas has played 16 games with him. They're now 11-5 in the games he's played. And Dak Prescott, yes, I admit Dak Prescott needs Zeke. Dak Prescott also flourishes 11-5 with Amari Cooper. He's healthy again, and he is a complete difference maker for the Cowboys. A lot of people push back, ooh, these gold bars known as first-round picks. Some are, but a third aren't. So go get a guarantee to help your star quarterback. I have no problem giving up a first-round pick if you can give me a great left tackle, a great wide receiver, a great tight end that helps my young quarterback, who's not a superstar, but good when given an assist. Love what Amari Cooper does, and it's obvious he's on the field. They're a different team.
Where Colin was wrong.
The minute I fell in love with the Wisconsin Badgers, they fell apart as a 30-point favorite in the history of the Big Ten. This is, if you go by lines, right? It's the second biggest upset in Big Ten history. Their defense, which was number one in the country in like virtually everything, had given up 29 points all year, surrendered 24 to Lovie Smith and the Fighting Illini. My guess is it's the classic look ahead game with, you know, Ohio State coming up. There's about one college football game a year. You're just like, what was that? Because it's not the NFL where anybody can mostly beat anybody. In college, you got like eight teams with better players. That was a shocker.
Where Colin was right.
Matt Stafford does it again. 11 years, no signature wins. Yesterday, four touchdowns, 365 yards, fastest quarterback to 40,000 yards, and they lost. My knock on Matt, he's a good guy with a beautiful arm. I don't sense urgency. Reggie Bush was on last week, and without criticizing a former teammate, he criticized him, and he said, sometimes I'd like a little more like, hey, this play is everything. And I saw it in Green Bay in Lambeau, and I saw it again Sunday. I get a bunch of yards, and I get a bunch of nice plays, but on those big third downs late in games, I don't sense what I saw with Lamar Jackson, what I see with Tom Brady or Drew Brees, this is the end of the earth if I don't make it happen. Like, every play matters. Every play's intense. I don't seek it. And I think Matt's a nice guy and a nice quarterback. But 11 years in this league and yesterday, that now defines Matt Stafford. Massive numbers and a loss in division.
Where Colin was wrong.
Kirk Cousins, I give up. I don't know. I mean, seriously. Last three games, 10 touchdowns, 970 yards. 75% completion percentage, I give up. Only quarterback ever in three straight games to throw for under 300 yards, over 300 yards, and have 130 passer rating. I don't even know. I mean, I know their gifts are good. I know their receiver's good. Dalvin Cook is, I think, maybe today the best running back in football. But if anybody can figure out Kirk Cousins, I honestly have gotten to the point with Kirk Cousins. I love him in the early window on Sunday. But if it's like dark outside, it's a night game or a primetime game, I'm off him. And literally, I'm watching the moon and the stars and what time he plays. I can't figure him out. Because if it's just a 1 o'clock game, I mean, the guy's like Peyton Manning.
Where Colin was right.
Jacoby Brissett. We always said he's a starting quarterback in the league. He's not Andrew Luck. Slow down. He's not. There's some limitations on the ceiling here. But he's a grown-up, he's big, he moves the chains, he's clearly coachable. He doesn't have great weapons around him. Let's not make excuses. They have a very nice offensive line. They don't have a star running back. You know, T.Y. Hilton's a very good receiver. He's not Julio Jones. Jacoby Brissett is a professional. It's like I say about Dak Prescott. He's a professional. Alex Smith, he's a professional quarterback. The time, the details, I really like Jacoby. Now, I do think he's going to end up meeting a New England defense or a Patrick Mahomes. He's not going to win a shootout. But for years and years, you know, everybody was all into this. Oh, they're going to fall off. When Andrew Luck retired, I said, oh, no. They'll be 8-8 or 9-7. They're not going to be 12-4. They're not going to be 13-3. But you can get to the playoffs. You can fight for a wild card. You can win a division with Jacoby Brissett. Happy for the kid.
Where Colin was wrong.
I have always been a fan of the bigger, stronger athlete. I follow recruiting. But there are these outliers like Jose Altuve, who basically the Astros paid $15,000 to sign him because everybody said he was too small. you can't get that guy out. And the power that he's able to generate, the Astros again in the World Series against the big, mighty Aaron Judge and the Yankees. Here's tiny Jose Altuve doing it again.
Altuve has just sent the Astros to the World Series. And the little guy, 5'6", 168, with a heart of a lion, sends it over the wall and left for a pennant-winning home run.
Off 6'4.5", Adonis Champ, the Yankee pitcher, Aroldis Chapman. Yeah. Who throws like gas. It's amazing. There's a Dustin Pedroia thing going on here. He's got a small strike zone, generates a lot of power. That guy's story is unbelievable. There's a lot of Russell Wilson there that, you know, if this kid is not 5'6", he's 5'8.5", we're like, oh yeah, let's draft him. Instead, he basically had to beg his way to get on a roster, and now you can't get him out. And he's always great in these big games.
Where Colin was right.
Josh Gordon is out for New England tonight. Monday Night Football. Yeah, so is tight end Ryan Izzo for the Patriots. And yet they're a 9-point favorite. Tonight, Tom Brady will be throwing to rookies, undrafted college cornerbacks, undrafted nobodies, duct tape. They're 6-0. Belichick, the one thing he doesn't draft well, wide receivers. And once again, Tom Brady is going into a big game with nobody outside of Julian Edelman to throw to. It's why I've always said Brady is better than Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning had Edgerrin James and Marvin Harrison. There's all sorts of, I mean, there was Dallas Clark. I got Reggie Wayne. I got Tom Brady tonight. If Julian Edelman twists an ankle, I may get a text from Belichick. They have nothing offensively. And they're a 9.5-point favorite over a Jets team that controlled the Dallas Cowboys last Sunday. It's in New York. That's what separates him. It is unbelievable what he has to work with. Nothing. It's duct tape. It's Bondo. It's ridiculous. And Josh Gordon is out tonight.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
His name is Michael Vick. 13 NFL seasons, 4 Pro Bowls, a comeback player of the year. It's interesting. People forget this. You were a running quarterback. You lasted 13 years.
Yeah.
So I know Lamar can last. But Michael, you were a natural thrower of the football. You were more Kyler Murray. There are limitations to Lamar as a thrower, but do you think this is sustainable? What do you see that you like?
I think it'll be sustainable for as long as Lamar can handle this load. And I think it'll be up to him and his coaches to come together and figure out, okay, you know, how's your body feeling? Do you feel like we're doing too much? Is this overload as far as the run game? And as he gets older, I think he'll make more suggestions as far as what he should do in the run game, how much run game he should be a part of, and just naturally let the offense evolve. And you know, with age, he's not going to want to take some of the hits that he's taking. You know, when you're a first, second, third-year player, you know, you tend to take those hits and shake them off, and you get up almost feeling as if you're a running back. And I know Lamar feels that way. I can tell by the way he runs. I can tell by the way he entertains every Sunday, and it's just in him right now, and you're not going to take it away. As he gets older, he'll make those changes. But, you know, 13 years, you won't feel the same as when you're in your third year.
Yeah, like I think it's an interesting point. Early in your career, you do feel like a little bit of a running back.
Yeah.
And then you decide, I don't want to be a running back. I want to be a quarterback. I don't like to use the word choke because I think, you know, I just don't like it. I think it feels mean.
Yeah.
And I don't like to use the word.
It's a harsh word.
Yeah, and I don't like the word bust for athletes. But I've seen enough of Mitch Trubisky after 30 games.
Yeah.
Mike, it doesn't work. It's too many tricks. Like Lamar Jackson may have a lower ceiling throwing the ball. But it's dynamic athletically.
Right.
Like
right.
Everybody does what, and there are other guys. Flacco for a long time, I loved his arm, but he couldn't move.
Yeah,
I feel like Trubisky, it's over. Am I too harsh?
No, and I like the word bust because bust was a word that motivated me, and it should have motivated every other first round pick, you know, that came out in the history of the NFL. Because if you don't do your job and you get taken in the first round, they're taking you because they are going to hold you to a higher standard.
Yes.
The standard that's been set.
For a number two pick.
Yes. And you have to live up to that standard. You have to scratch and claw to make sure that you do everything so that term, that word bust, is not labeled on you. So I like that word. That's not being too harsh. It's the pressures and the realities of playing the quarterback position, and it's what people like us want to see.
How many years did you high school quarterback?
3.5.
Okay, so you were a 3.5-year starter in high school, and then you went to Virginia Tech and you started for 2.5 or 3?
2 years.
Okay, so you had 5.5 years of starting quarterback,
That's correct.
You sat for a year in the NFL mostly.
Yes.
I think a lot of Trubisky is he hadn't played enough quarterback.
You know, I always thought that was the issue. I questioned that when he came out, and you know, he all of a sudden came on the scene and was, you know, being talked about as being a first round pick.
Remember
and
that?
I'm like, well, how much experience does this guy have? And
12 games.
1 year. I'm like, wow, the game has really changed. Or it's a general manager out there who sees something that you know,
and
maybe
I didn't.
Other people don't see. So you know, I thought that was real interesting, and it's kind of showing up. You know, but I will say this, you know, bear with Mr. Trubisky. Give him to the duration of the season, to the end of the season, because you never know, he might go on an 8-game win streak.
Tim Tebow won 7 straight.
I don't know if that's likely, but it's possible.
How much of Philadelphia's issues now? I don't love their offensive line. They're not getting sacks.
Right.
But at some point, Carson Wentz fumbles.
Yeah.
Is it on Carson a little?
Yeah, Carson has to take the onus. It's not on anyone else. I think the system is still the same. I don't think it changed too much since Nick Foles left. But, you know, Carson and the fumble in the first quarter and, you know, the first fumble, his fumble is something that could have been controlled. I know he was trying to throw the football in the pocket. Couldn't do anything about, you know, the receiver fumbling, finding themselves in a deficit. And that was self-inflicted. That was on him. And when you make those type of mistakes in the game, you got to find a way to dig yourself out that hole.
Yeah.
And I don't care what it takes. You better be on your A game. Your focus better be on a severely high level. And you have to change. So this loss is on Carson Wentz. He was a little wiry yesterday.
Yeah.
I never looked comfortable. I know he was playing from a deficit, but that was created by them.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the quarterback position.
You know, it's interesting. I always say, you guys want to be the man. You don't want to be the only man.
Right.
So I always felt for 8 years that Aaron Rodgers drove to Lambeau and knew he had to play great.
Absolutely.
And I watch him now, and even though he was great yesterday, I feel like, no, they're asking him to be magical once a month.
Yeah.
7 throws.
Yeah.
And I watched Green Bay yesterday, and Mike, they're yesterday they had not won this year like that.
Yes.
A couple weeks ago against Dallas, it was Aaron Jones. What are you seeing with Aaron in the system?
I love what they're doing. And within this system, and for any quarterback, it's going to take a while to get adjusted in-game experience to make the magical plays that, you know, you're used to seeing a guy make. He hasn't practiced this offensive scheme versus, you know, any other opponent other than his defense that he played against all spring and summer.
Right.
That he practiced against. So you get out, you know, regular season starts and you've seen all these different looks and you got all these plays and concepts. You're trying to figure out what really works. So it takes some time. And I like this for Aaron Rodgers right now. We all used to cut on the TV and want to see him, you know, just bring that magical show each and every week.
Yeah.
The things that we knew he could do. But, you know, we shouldn't hold him to that high standard.
You can't do this every week.
It's just not realistic. It's unrealistic. And now he has a system. He got players around him, got a defense. And I like this for him. Now he can be comfortable, come in to a game and make 7 or 8 plays. It's going to be game-changing plays and be a difference maker for his team.
Yeah. By the way, when I'm watching Dak last night, just go back to you. There are certain throws that, Mike, a quarterback is comfortable making. Like Aaron loves the back shoulder.
Yeah.
You can just see when he throws it, he backs. You know, like even in the NBA, Michael Jordan had 3 stock moves.
Yeah.
Kobe would be better. You know, like LeBron's better left than going right.
Right.
Everybody's got their stock things.
Right.
When I watch Dak, there are certain throws to Amari Cooper up the sideline.
Yeah.
And I watch Dak and I'm like, oh, that's right in his wheelhouse.
That's his best throw, the fade.
The fade.
The fade. And I think it's a great route that Amari Cooper has learned to run. But Dak gets the ball up, and he always places the ball in the same spot. And it always seems that
it happens
in the same spot on the field every time.
Yeah.
Every week, when they connect on that type of route. But something that you could tell they practice, and I like what Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys did yesterday, bouncing back after losing three in a row. That's the team that, you know, we know that they can be consistently, though.
By the way, Dallas plays better leading than trailing. Explain to our audience, for a young quarterback, and Dak is still young, the difference between playing 14-0 and playing trailing 14-0.
Well, when you're up 14-0, you know, you can pull certain things out of the playbook. And there's plays that coaches have that they won't run, but you're up 14-0, it's like, why not? Let's do it. Let's give it a shot. And that play might work, and it'll surprise everybody, and you're happy, and coaches look like a genius. The players look great.
Right.
When you're playing from a deficit, you almost have to go into two-minute mode. You can't run the football. You can't kill clock. You know the other team is going to get the ball again, and the objective is to not let them score. So the pressure's on the offense, and it's enough pressure coming into a game within itself. So now you have this extra pressure where your offensive game plan kind of goes out the window, and then, you know, you're in pass happy mode, and now the opposition knows that. So the defensive ends peel their ears back and they rush the passer.
Yeah. Did you ever have a game in the NFL where you were like 6 minutes in, you buried the playbook, and just you had to just start over?
I'm pretty sure there was. You know, I played in so many games, but I can't remember ever being down 14-0. I know I probably was down more than that. Well, I will say this, in 2011, after the lockout, we came back into the season, and things wasn't going as well
right.
for us, and we was down every game. So, yes, we played Buffalo, and
you scrapped
they went
the playbook.
Up 21-0. Yeah, they went up 21-0, and we scrapped the playbook. We had to just improvise and go into two-minute mode. We changed the dynamic of the game. We lost 28-24.
But you had to basically say.
We had to abandon it. It was no ground game. It was no LeSean McCoy. It was it was over. I mean, you know, run past the football, and if I made plays in the run game, then that's what it was.
Yeah. Mike, good seeing you, bud.
Good seeing you, too.